Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ECCR Live. My name's Keith. I'm the producer of the show, and this is presented by ElectronicCigaretteConsumerReviews.com. This story that we are reading today is called The Predicate Product Exists, Altria in Negotiations to Acquire. So this is huge news. We are breaking it here at ElectronicCigaretteConsumerReviews.com, ECCR Live. I feel so privileged to break this huge news because this affects millions of people. Altria could soon have control over the entire e-cig industry. This story has to be told to everybody because this is huge news. And people need a backup plan. Where are you going to get your e-cigarettes? So I'm going to go ahead and read this story. And the ramifications, we're going to talk about that. Because it's a pretty big deal. Altria, the biggest tobacco company in the world. Wow, who would figure they would want control over everything? Is it possible for any one electronic cigarette to dominate the entire electronic cigarette industry? The answer is yes. And the company that may be best positioned to establish that dominance is none other than the world's largest tobacco company, Altria. ECCR sources have learned that Altria has been secretly negotiating to purchase what the FDA has referred to as the predicate product, meaning an e-cigarette device that was sold in the United States before February 15, 2007. Sources likewise confirmed that the negotiations included a seven-figure offer to buy the predicate product. While the majority of the industry and the FDA itself were unaware if the predicate product even truly existed, Altria understood the implications of the predicate product and assigned a team to determine its whereabouts and ownership. They were successful in identifying the product and then made contact with the owner or owners in December 2014. So, what is a predicate product? Now, we're going to explain that a little bit later, but that means a grandfathered product. So if there's going to be regulations, it's going to be the grandfathered. So we're going to get into that. This is a big deal that the biggest tobacco company in the world has already put an offer in on this. And most other companies don't even know, if not all. The whole world basically doesn't know. Negotiations for the predicate product began in 2014 in December. Negotiations were held in Pennsylvania and Virginia, but we are told that little progress has been made thus far, and it is possible that other suitors have become involved in the race to possess the enigmatic predicate product. The possibilities and ramifications are enormous, and it is possible that Imperial Tobacco, owner of Blue Cigs, R.J. Reynolds, owner of Vuse, Electronic Cigarettes International Group, or any other of a handful of major players will be very interested in the outcome. The significance of possessing the predicate product cannot be overstated. This is really serious, ladies and gentlemen. It can't be overstated. The holder of the predicate product will enjoy a path to market that will not be available to any competitor. So say goodbye to competition, which will in turn may actually limit the ability of a competitor to bring a product to market at all. In fact, it is probable that more than 90% of current e-cigarette brands and possibly all e-liquid vendors will be unable to afford the lengthy and expensive FDA new product submission process and will simply cease operation. Popular high-power box mods, tank systems, and RDAs will have to spend millions to receive FDA approval, a proposition that will likely be unattainable for most. The ramifications of this will have serious consequences for the 30,000 vape shops that rely on a variety of vendors. Imagine the entire electronic cigarette industry be limited to just a select few products owned by the same company. It could happen. The best products may be able to sell to larger concerns. If a powerful business interest decides to take on the cause of a financially backing popular e-cigarette products through the FDA approval process, it may preserve a number of vape shops and provide vapers with more options. But keep in mind, the new product approval in the tobacco category historically may take years to achieve. The owner or owners of the predicate product are unknown, as is the exact nature of the form of the product. We can confirm that the predicate product exists and it was first sold commercially in Pennsylvania in 2006. We are working feverishly to obtain further details, and you can expect new developments to be released as they happen. ECCR will continue to have unprecedented inside access to negotiations that will impact one of the hottest and fastest industries of the world. How does this affect you? Try not to get too used to your mod or your favorite flavored e-juice. Cloud chasers may just have to find another sport. The predicate product actually exists, and it could change everything for the e-cigarette industry. This is an ongoing development, and ECCR has exclusive access to the credible sources. We will be following this intently in the coming days. We have a number of exclusive details to share at this time, beginning when this all started last April 2014. So, ECCR is breaking this news. We are the source. If you want to know what's going on, you come to us. So, the predicate product. What is the predicate product? Every vapor, e-cigarette company, e-liquid vendor, and vape shop is waiting for the full picture of the FDA's regulation of the e-cigarette industry will look like. When the FDA proposed e-cigarette regulations were released in April 2014, many in the industry breathed a sigh of relief, including myself. Because there were no plans to ban e-cigs or e-liquid flavors. As it turns out, that sigh of relief may have been premature, as the entire industry is poised to be shaken on its foundation. The main points of the proposed regulation include a full disclosure of e-liquid ingredients, a ban on sales to minors, no product giveaways, and new products being subjected to an FDA review. Now, mind you, my personal opinion, of course, I don't want minors vaping. I just don't want them to vape. I think it's for adults only. So keep out of the hands of minors. I don't know anybody that would argue with that. That's, you know, something that every company I've ever worked with agrees with. So, secondly, it talks about, you know, no product giveaways. Well, that's kind of silly. You ever seen cigarettes for sale for buy one or buy two, get one pack free? Yeah, they got product giveaways, you know. So, you know, that's kind of I don't like that too much. But, hey, I can deal with that. That's something I can deal with. As long as they, you know, as long as I can get my e-juice and my e-cigs, I'm happy, right? You know? And then, you know, the new products being subjected to an FDA review. So you look at that and you're like, oh, huh. Well, that means they're going to review them and, you know, make sure they're safe, you know, so that can't be that big of a deal. And, of course, don't forget the, you know, full list of ingredients in e-cig liquid. Of course, who doesn't want to know what they're vaping on, you know? So, but it was important to look at the last part there. It says, new products being subjected to an FDA review. As we have learned, these review processes take a long time, so, and lots of money. So that's where this all comes into play. That's why the predicate product is so important. As we have moved forward, it has become clear that the FDA review process that will be required to keep a product on the market costs millions, probably in the $5 to $10 million range. Wow. There are 500 e-cigarette brands out there, and most of them cannot begin to entertain the thought of entering an FDA approval process. Only companies that have access to major resources will be able to comply. There may, however, be a loophole that would allow a company to circumvent any lengthy approval process and essentially exercise complete control over what e-cigarette products can and cannot be sold in the United States. This possibility is related to the section of the proposed regulations that identifies, quote, new, unquote, e-cigarette products to be any product introduced after February 15th, 2007. Any product which existed before that date is defined as a predicate product of the e-cigarette category. Here is the section of the FDA regulations regarding the deeming of electronic cigarettes as subject to Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, also making reference to the predicate product. If electronic cigarettes are deemed to be subject to the FDC Act, the cost of pre-market applications would increase the cost of entering and remaining in the market. It is uncertain whether there are any valid predicates for the electronic cigarette products currently on the market. If no such predicates exist, or if they are hard to identify, then all or most electronic cigarettes would require pre-market applications in order to remain on the market. This is that loophole. This is what Altria is going after. So pay close attention, because this is going to affect you as a vapor, as a cloud chaser, as a vendor, as an employee, as an employer at a vape shop. Ladies and gentlemen, this is huge news. Most paid little attention to this section of the proposed regulations. The predicate product was not a known commodity and is doubted to even exist. The FDA itself acknowledges that the existence of any predicate product is unknown. If there is a predicate product, then clearly things change drastically. Consider the secret to be out. The predicate product does indeed exist. It has been sought by tobacco giant Altria and possibly other giants in the industry. So somebody wants a monopoly on it. There is a predicate product, and where was it? Well, in fact, the first electronic cigarettes were sold in Pennsylvania in November 2006. Just by happens that my first time ever having an e-cig was 2006-2007 at the Exton Square Mall in Pennsylvania. And although I didn't like it, and the e-cig itself was about that long, and it looked funny, and it was very heavy, it only came in two flavors, I have a feeling that that's probably the predicate product that we're talking about. I'm not positive that that's it, but I'm saying if it's not it, it's something very much like it. So it's kind of scary that, you know, when I think, because I don't even like cigalikes. I don't like them. It's just me. I'm not a cigalike guy. I don't need the cigarette feeling to it. I like my mod. I like the hold of my mod. I like the cloud chase. I like the puff, you know, the massive amount of vapor and the cigarette, you know. So it's, you know, the cigalikes just don't do it for me. Continue reading here. ECCR sources have confirmed that the predicate product exists and that Altria has made an attempt to acquire it. At this time, the exact nature of the predicate product is unknown, but we fully expect to learn more in the coming days. Why does Altria want the predicate product? For starters, the red tape and expense of meeting FDA approval would be much easier and much clearer. The FDA allows a less daunting path to market through a substantial equivalence pathway. That means that if a company can establish their product is the same as a tobacco product that was commercially available in the United States before February 15, 2007, they have an open path to market as long as they comply with basic FDA guidelines, such as disclosing ingredients and banning sales to minors. All other companies would be in the dark regarding the nature of the predicate product, and thus unable to access the substantial equivalence pathway. It does not end there. Depending on the nature of the predicate product, there are a number of current e-cig styles that may be unable to remain in the marketplace. Like, that's scary, like mods. I love my mods, right? Possession of the predicate product is essentially a grandfather clause that enables the holder to avoid entanglements that will restrict access to market for everyone else. With the predicate product actually existing, the stakes just became a lot higher for the industry players. Until now, only Altria and the owners of the predicate product, were aware of its existence. At this time, we do not know who owns the predicate product, but we do know that Altria has approached the owners or the owner. Now that ECCR has confirmed that the product does exist, it is likely that a frenzy will begin. Altria executives certainly recognize this fact, and now the rest of the key players in the electronic cigarette business will as well. The predicate product is more than just an easy path. It could be key to control the entire industry. Yes, this is huge news. Huge news. Only here at Electronic Cigarette Consumer Reviews do we break news like this. No one else is breaking this news. Can Altria really control the industry if they acquire the predicate product? To this point, Altria has yet to acquire the product, and we are told that the negotiations between the owner or owners of the predicate product have slowed to a virtual standstill. We don't know where R.J. Reynolds, lawyer and Imperial Tobacco stand. There is too much at stake. In other words, the predicate product is still available and could be a complete game changer for whoever ultimately acquires it. The future of the e-cig industry. Altria is in negotiations to purchase the predicate product, but could other big players like Imperial or R.J. Reynolds get in their way? Could there also be a huge bidding war to gain control over the e-cig industry? Yeah, I think the other players are going to come in. And this is whoever has the predicate product is going to be filthy rich. And the rest of us are just going to get thrown under the bus. And that's my opinion. I don't want to have to buy my e-juice and my mods through the black market. I like to legally buy them online and have them shipped to my house, but there is no way I am going to downgrade to a lesser quality electronic cigarette. It's just not going to happen. And I don't care if it's the FDA or if it's, you know, a big tobacco giant that's monopolizing everything. It's just, it's not happening with me. And that's my opinion. And that's how I feel about it. So, and I'm pretty sure most of the consumers out there will agree with me as well. There are a number of scenarios that could play out there. The characteristics of the predicate product, currently unknown, will essentially define the most available pathway to market and the ability to sell electronic cigarettes. That means that if the predicate product is a cig-alike with two flavors, then only products that would be available to the public for sale would be cig-alike products with two flavors, because only those products are able to prove substantial equivalence. That could mean that the vendors currently supplying the inventory to thousands of vape shops would suddenly be unable to sell their products. That's huge news. Are you a vendor? You should be listening to this. You should share this. Go to electroniccigaretteconsumerreviews.com. The February 15, 2007 grandfather date. The grandfather clause goes back to when the Tobacco Control Bill was first introduced to the 110th Congress. Translation, anyone with a predicate product prior to that date would gain control of the e-cig industry, shutting down 500-plus e-cig companies and vape shops in America. This past November, House Speaker John Bonner was joined by several congressional leaders in sending a letter to the FDA asking that the February 15, 2007 grandfather date be changed to either April 2014 or to the effective date of the regulations. Now, this is asking. This doesn't mean anything, ladies and gentlemen. This is just, it's a letter asking. He's just being nice. He's asking if they would, you know, play along and maybe, you know, do things. But the FDA, once they bury their teeth into something, Once they set themselves a date, they don't go back on these things. They don't want to look weak. They're the FDA. You know, they like being the FDA and being strong and, you know, at least making it look that way. The letter read, as a practical matter, many newly deemed products could be removed from the market. The cost and barriers surrounding a new product submission would largely prevent new entries, posing an unwarranted regulatory barrier to innovation. This is a critical issue, and we request that manufacturers of newly deemed tobacco products have the same market entry opportunities as manufacturers of cigarettes and other currently regulated tobacco products. Any final provision on this issue should ensure equity among all regulated tobacco products and encourage innovation while achieving the purpose of the law. So that's what he wrote in the letter to them. The FDA has yet to respond to the letter, but it is clear that we are currently in a climate where the portrayal of electronic cigarettes in a most negative way. While some members of Congress may be calling for leniency in the e-cig regulations, It seems that local and state governments are responding to the negative portrayal of electronic cigarettes with an unending list of bans and restrictions. Just last week, California Department of Public Health declared e-cigarettes to be a health hazard. Study data has been cherry-picked and then represented as being typical. Yeah, they're just cherry-picking a study here and there, and they're not looking at all the studies out there. So, ladies and gentlemen, come to Electronic Cigarette Consumer Reviews, where we tell you the truth about electronic cigarettes. We have all the studies, and we are open, and we are honest. We're not cherry-picking anything here. Even though it affects our business, we don't cherry-pick it. Data has been manipulated to support scary headlines warning people away from e-cigarettes and back into the arms of tobacco. There are legitimate concerns about e-liquid ingredients being distributed by unqualified vendors, but for the most part, the negatives are amplified while the positives are muted. Suffice to say that the e-cigarette smear campaign is currently in high gear. Given the current climate of concern and the influence of lobbyists, the FDA may not be willing to compromise on changing the date from February 15, 2007. This would mean that all new entries into the electronic cigarette category would require to begin an FDA approval process from scratch as a new submission. The February 15th, 2007 date does not just apply to electronic cigarettes. It applies to all new tobacco products. If the FDA allows an exception for electronic cigarettes, it may also be opening the door to a litany of additional tobacco products. The FDA would become alarmingly overburdened as it attempts to enforce the mandate of a Tobacco Control Act that was first introduced to the 110th Congress on, of course, April 15th, 2007. April 15th. They got these dates down. These things don't happen by accident. This date was not randomly chosen. It was tied to the Legislation Act under which e-cigarettes are destined to become regulated. There's more. When the Tobacco Control Act was finalized and signed into law June 2009 as the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act, many critics began referring to the legislation as the Marlboro Protection Act precisely because of the February 15, 2007 cutoff date for grandfathering of existing products. In other words, Marlboro's parent company, Altria, has a powerful and effective lobby. The behind-the-scenes machinations cannot truly be detailed, but much can be inferred from the results. This is typical of the constant dance between lobbyists, regulators, and politicians. This dance has been going on since the first democracy, and the music is still going strong today. In this case, while the FDA can technically exercise discretion over the February 15, 2007 date, there are other powerful influences at play. Ultimately, given that Altria made a seven-figure offer to acquire Predicate Product, deriving conclusions becomes a less than complex task. The Predicate Product could very well be the e-cigarette industry game changer with huge ramifications for anyone and everyone that is in this business, whether you're a consumer or you make money in the business. And that was written by Matt here at Electronic Cigarette Consumer Reviews. This is our story. We're breaking here at ECCR Live to you. So please read the story again. The link will be in the description of the YouTube video. You can go to electroniccigaretteconsumerreviews.com. Go to our website. And there you can find it in the news section. Or, you can go watch this. Watch this podcast. I read it to you. I read the story. Share this podcast. Share this story with your family, your friends. If you have a vendor or you got a local vape shop, go to the local vape shop. Chit-chat with the, other vapers. Let them know how big of a story this is. This is a game changer for all of us. This is big news. This is everything. And write your congressman. Write to the FDA. I doubt that's going to do anything, but it's pretty important that they know that e-cigarettes are not the same as tobacco, and that's a big difference. And now that tobacco industry is getting into it because it's cutting into their profits, we got this huge threat of a monopoly owning over 90% of all e-cigarettes, it's a huge deal. This is huge. So please, you can also go to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to go there. You can find our reviews there, our consumer reviews and our editor reviews. We got lots of videos there. Please watch them. Share them with your family and friends. You can find our podcast. This podcast will be uploaded there. So you can watch us there. Go to Facebook. Our Facebook, like us there, and follow us on Twitter. Last but not least, please check out, we have a awesome contest going on right now. The new website contest, 30 e-cig kits in 30 days. Enter to win, simply connect with us. So please go there. Atlantic, Green Smoke, and Apollo are the kits that are being given away. And a lot of kits have been given away. There's been 1,400 some entries and 14 days left. So please, ladies and gentlemen, go there, get yourself an e-cig kit. You may be one of the lucky winners. So sign up. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here at electroniccigaretteconsumerreviews.com. I am so excited to keep these podcasts. Come and tell me what you think. Let me know in the comments below. Also, tell me what you think of the guys. Tell me what you think of this article. This article is an important article. What does this mean to you if you can't get your e-juice, you can't get your e-cigs? What would you do if all you could get was a Cigalike with two cartridges from your local corner store gas station? What would you do? I mean, this is a big deal. So share this story. Share it on social media. Tell people about it. Send an email. Get it out there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining ECCR Live. My name is Keith, and have a wonderful evening.